Okay, gang, I remember years ago when we first had a first group of Congolese people come to the church, and they didn't understand. There was a few of them that could translate. And I remember our people, well, they were talking back and forth and asked, what happened? You know, and so people were like, my gosh, that's distracting. I'm just like, well, that's okay. You know, I've got attention deficit disorder. So, like, I like that commotion a little bit. I study well at a coffee shop, you know. If there ain't no noise, I create noise. But some of you that are not like that, that you want silence, it might be a little hard for you. And so, and that just means you need to sign up to be a Sunday school teacher. So, all right, you ready? John chapter 12. This is a story, I think, if you've grown up in church or, you know, you would experience this story in some form or fashion. It says in John 12, 1, then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. There they made him supper, and Martha served, but Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. For then saith one of the disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him, why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and he had the bag and bare what was put therein. Then said Jesus, let her alone. Against the day of my burying hath she kept this. For the poor always ye have with you, but me ye have not always. Much people of the Jews therefore knew that he was there. And they came not for Jesus' sake only, but that they might see Lazarus also, whom he had raised from the dead. Verse 10, the chief priests consulted that they might put Lazarus to death. Remember last week, I mean, we started seeing that they're trying to put Jesus to death. Now Lazarus is part of this business. They're going to kill him. Verse 11, because that by reason of him, many of the Jews went away and believed on Jesus. So these religious leaders were once again offended. I've noticed this. We've seen it time and time again. Religious people seem to be really offended at the Bible. Ain't that crazy? You would think religious people would love the Bible. But religious people tend to create laws and rules. They dress a certain way. They think Christians should even act a certain way. We call that legalism, where you create things that are not in the Bible. And then when you start teaching what the Bible actually says, they begin to be offended. The Bible says in Proverbs that righteous men are not easily offended. That would go to show you that religious people are not as righteous as they think they are. They just think because maybe their good morality, the way they look, you know, the way they dress, that they're religious. I want you to know, this is a beautiful story, right? The beautiful story is, you know, we just read it, so just let me, they're at supper, Jesus is in the house, Mary has a very costly box of ointment. It said it was very expensive. She broke it and anointed Jesus with the perfume and the oils on his feet, even wiped him with her hair. The whole house was filled with the fragrance, and one of the disciples, Judas Iscariot, stands up and says, what a waste of money. We could have sold this and given to the poor, you know, and makes a big deal of it. And even at the end of this story, people are like getting offended, you know, and they're just like, they want Lazarus dead because people are starting to believe in Jesus Christ. And so what happens is when people start believing Jesus and understanding the Bible, they begin to learn that a lot of religion, a lot of church, a lot of what they've experienced in life is false. It's not true. Jesus says he is the way, the truth, and the life. The truth is contained in that book right there. And religious people tend to be. What a beautiful story. I actually took this to verse 11. So beautiful 11 verses. Isn't it funny? We have a beautiful story unfolding, but then all of a sudden, right in the middle of the story, you know, verse 4. One of the disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him. The one that's going to betray him, he's the one that speaks up and says, man, we could have given all this money to the poor. And then he goes on, and Jesus finally, so verse 4, 5, 6, 7, Jesus says, hey, let her alone. She's done this for my burial. Verse 8, for the poor, you're always going to have with you. And so right in the middle of these 11 verses, there's really like 5, 6 verses right in the middle where religious people mess this beautiful story up. That's what happens. Jesus is at work. A lady's coming to prep him for his burial. And like, this is, it's a beautiful story, and I'm going to talk about just a little bit more detail here. And all of a sudden, in the middle of it, you know what happens? Gross religious people. And I like what Jesus said. Don't think, because most of us would say, you know, somebody's wanting to give a big chunk of money or whatever, and here she's pouring this expensive ointment on Jesus Christ, and somebody says, man, that could have been sold and given to the poor. Stop right there. Doesn't that make sense? Makes sense to me. I mean, every once in a while I see a church do some crazy things. They're in a town and people are struggling, and all of a sudden the church is putting like a large stained glass window in. I don't know about you, but I always go by and think, ain't that ridiculous? That's ridiculous. Why would they do that? What point is that? But this here was for Jesus, for her love for Jesus. And yes, he was going to be buried, so it was a prep. It was kind of like some prophecy taking place to get all this done. But Judas speaks up and goes, man, we could have sold this and given to the poor. Guys, there's a great point being made here, and I just want to pass this on to you. Because this incredible act of love and devotion that this lady's given to Jesus, I just want you to know that any act that's poured out upon Jesus Christ is greater than feeding 1,000 poor people. Mark that down. A lot of churches think this is what they should do. Churches get involved in social work. It's not the church's job to be about some social justice and the social gospel. That's what people want to do all the time. They want to take on causes and think, man, shouldn't the church feed poor people? No. Not at all. No, there's nothing wrong with doing that. And the Bible even says that Jesus, if you give a cup of cold water in my name, yes. But you know what? Notice you give a cup of cold water to somebody that's thirsty. But Jesus said, he that gives a cup of cold water in my name. They're actually giving a cup of cold water to Jesus. For Jesus. For his glory. For his honor. And then he says, yeah, they're giving it for me. They're giving it so I can get glory. So this is what religious people do. This is just really funny to me. And people think that, you know, churches should do certain things. But one act of love towards Jesus Christ is greater than feeding, visiting, and clothing people. Mark it down, folks. You know what the Lord wants from you? Some people come to the Lord, and you've seen it before, where people are all in broken pieces, and they're like, man, you hand over your heart and it's all cracked and jacked up and just says, Lord, this is all I got. It's not very good. It's all in pieces. And Jesus Christ responds back and says, that's all I've ever wanted. Our love. Anybody that's married in here knows this. Anybody in here that's got children in here, you know this. Sometimes as a dad, you think, I need to provide for my kids. They need school clothes, right? We're out hustling, doing work. Bringing them back, you know, there's and the wife, you know, you're bringing home money to try to pay the bills. So you're like, I really want to provide for my kids. And yet you're never home. Are you really providing for your kids? Not at all. You're not giving them what they really need. Hey, Dad, they need you. They don't need your shoes. They don't need your money. No. Well, they need it. And they want it. You know, that's always nice to have, isn't it? You know, it's like, hey, my conscience is bad anyways. Give me the money too. You know, but the same thing with a wife. Sometimes you have a relationship with your spouse. You become business partners and you just start being busy. And yet, what's the thing that drew you together in the first place? It's kind of a vague word, but we call it love. I loved her. I enjoyed talking to her. We had a friendship. That's how it's supposed to start. And then all of a sudden life comes, bills come, kids come, and you get busy, and all of a sudden you lose the very thing that brought you together. Make no mistake about it, friends. Listen to me. Jesus Christ gave his life for you. He loves you so much, and he wants a relationship with you. Notice I didn't say he wants just your money, your church attendance. Oh, you need to get baptized. You need to do this and do that for the poor. No, no, no. You know what it is? It's a love relationship. That's why you and me know, anybody that's studied the Bible, there's a word in the Bible called fellowship. And what this word means is it's like a friendship. And a lot of times it takes place even in Scripture around a table. Like, he wants a relationship with you. He wants to speak to you, and he wants you to speak to him. Why has people taken, made Christianity all about, they've made it all about the business, all about the religion side of it? Like, go to church, give your money, you know, and I'm like, hey, no, wait a minute. I think all of those things are great things. But what about the love? A love relationship. So practically I'm speaking to moms and dads and husbands and wives and houses. But here I just wanted to bring a point out. Mary loved the Lord. There's a story you find in the Bible. It's actually over in Luke 10. If you're quick in your Bible, go over to Luke chapter 10. This is another story that involves Mary and Martha, who are also in this story we read today. So, yeah, in Luke chapter 10, look at verse 38. Luke 10 and verse 38. Now, it came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. So Jesus enters a house, and she had a sister called Mary. So Mary and Martha, they're also in the story we're reading in John, right, about this box of ointment, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. So Mary is sitting at Jesus' feet hearing his word. Verse 40. But Martha was cumbered about much serving. Martha was working and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me alone to serve? Alone. Like, I've been here by myself. So Mary is sitting at the feet of Jesus. Do you see it? Martha serving, preparing dinner. Jesus is in the house. We want to serve him, right? Serve him, serve him, serve him. And watch this. Could you bid her, therefore, that she help me? Like, she's telling on her sister to Jesus. It says in verse 41, Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. But one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. Martha, the serving is good, but Mary hath chosen the good part. The better part, and that was to what? To sit with Jesus and hear his word. Some of you that have been in this church a while know how this gets. Because before you know it, you get busy in ministry. They want you to teach Sunday school. And at first it was great, right? Every day you get in God's word and you walk with Jesus and talk to him. He's talking to you. You're learning. You're coming to classes, taking notes, and it's lovely. Then as the years go on, you get to the point where serving has taken over. You always got to clean the church, always got to bring something, always got to teach Sunday school class, and something's wrong with your heart. Then you begin to notice other people that are not serving as much as you are serving. Hey, listen, folks, stop yourself right there. What happened to the love? What happened to the relationship where you enjoyed sitting at the feet of Jesus? This was a problem with Martha. People that like to serve and do things, remember, Jesus would rather you be with him. That's why as a church we say, get on the app, read the Bible. Everybody should be reading the word every day. Jesus wants to speak to you. Hey, serving's great, right? We need to serve. If we wouldn't serve, we wouldn't have a decent church. So this is a big part of it too. But I just wanted to point out in this little story here that Mary and Martha, back in John chapter 12, there's still a little bit of an issue here, right? And one of the issues is, if you're in John chapter 12, it says that verse 2, and they made him supper, and Martha served. Notice what she's marked with. She serves. She serves. This is what she does. Hey, some of you do that. You hide behind the tasks that you do. And some of you, hey, and let me just say this. I'll just say it to moms. I don't know who this would best apply to, but you know how it is when you're like, you're working for a paycheck, helping to pay the bills. You're coming home and you're getting dinner ready. You're cleaning the house. Like, it's all on you. Then you're putting the kids to bed. And then you just, like, and this is where people get this wrong mentality. They think, like, people, a lot of times churches or Christians think women are doormats. Hey, a lot of times, you have made yourself the doormat. Nobody's done that. You've just made your business about serving. Sometimes the broom can sit in the corner. Would you read to your child? Sometimes you can say, man, hey, can we order something out tonight? and just let's just sit around the table together on the patio together and let's just talk? Can we be that? To giggle and play and serve a little bit, like I probably shouldn't use that word, serve with your husband. And take a deep breath. Because you're not a doormat. You're not. And this is exactly here. I think Martha always kind of felt that way. She always felt like, my gosh, I'm serving here. But notice it says in verse 3, then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard. Mary was the one that likes to sit at the feet of Jesus. And she was, listen, gang, she was lavishing her love upon Jesus. She loved him. It's not that she didn't want to serve him, but she loved him. We're going to have to separate these two things because you know why? We should love Jesus so much that we serve. We don't have to serve Jesus to get his attention. To serve Jesus just to say, hey, look at me. No, but because we love him, we do service for him. Right? But don't forget this. The relationship's got to be priority. Let me list the people that are in this house. If you read your Bible, there's a passage over in Luke 17. You know whose house they were in? Whose house is this? Maybe we ought to go look at it. Luke 17. In Luke chapter 17, in a gospel where he's telling the story from maybe his perspective a little bit. Oh, you know what? I'm actually giving you the wrong verse. I'm giving you the wrong verse of the 10 lepers. That's the story. It was just a leper. They're in the house, the Bible says, of Simon the leper. What's leper? Yeah, they're in the house of Simon the leper. But what's crazy about this story is lepers are not supposed to be in their house. Leprosy is contagious. They're supposed to be out on their own. Anybody get near a leper, the Old Testament says, you're so contagious, we'll say, back away, I'm a leper. You're supposed to be covered up and say, back away, I'm sorry. You know, it's kind of like, you'll catch this, stay away from me, you know. And so all of a sudden we find this story taking place, and this is Simon the leper. By the way, I think this is the leper. Jesus Christ healed him. He healed this guy. When most people couldn't touch lepers, Jesus touches the leper. I love this too because ministry's messy. You know what ministry means? We touch people that seem to be untouchable. That's what ministry is. Ministry is not, hey, let's have a church service and bring everybody pretty. You know what sometimes ministry looks like? Well, some of our people have to go to another church. We're right in the middle of a service and there's a knock on the door that's not normally the door we come in and a bunch of strangers to us walk in the door. Man, that's kind of messy. This is kind of jacked up. You couldn't have planned that, could you? No, we could. It's called ministry. That's the way it works. Sometimes we go to a homeless shelter, and the guy that's fresh out of prison comes in, and he can't catch a break, and he can't get a job. He's at the homeless shelter. You don't want to be there. But one thing he knew last night, Jesus Christ reached out and touched him, and he said, that's what I needed. One of the guys even spoke up. One of the guys, he actually was born and raised, born here but raised in Abington. I like at one point he just said, whoa. He said, man, I got a tear in my eye. Like that one, here's a big tough guy. And I'm like, that's what Jesus does. He takes lepers. He ain't afraid. We're afraid of lepers, but Jesus ain't. Jesus touches this guy. If you read that whole story, Luke 17, it's a beautiful story about a leper being changed, how his faith in Jesus Christ totally healed him. And now Jesus Christ is in his house. That's ministry, gang. That's ministry. We need to have people that were once lepers in our home. Don't think ministry is just in this building. This is just a church building where we gather together. Churches are built how? Around dining room tables. Churches are built in living rooms. Real relationships. Real discipleship. Jesus always seemed to meet. Now, Jesus would preach in the temple. He would be out and about on a mountainside. All that happened, but a lot of the ministry you'd see him do was in the middle of like people's homes. In the midst of 12, you know, sick and hurt, troubled, blind people. That's what ministry was. Naked people. People possessed with the devil. Like, this is ministry. Jesus, with his disciples with him, they're like, my gosh, this is crazy, isn't it? Yes, ministry's crazy. It's crazy. It's wild. Here they are in the house of Simon the leper. That just touches my heart that here they are in Simon the leper's house. And it says in Matthew Hey, cross-reference. Matthew 26:6. I was took you to a wrong verse earlier. That's where it says that Jesus, this took place in Simon the leper's house. So, okay, guys, check this out. Jesus Christ is in the house. Whose house? Simon the leper. Who else is there? It says in verse 2. Well, verse 1. They came to Bethany where Lazarus, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. There they made him a supper, and Martha served, but Lazarus is one of them that sat at the table with him. So we know Jesus is in the house. Simon the leper, there's a table. Lazarus is there. Guys, Lazarus wasn't a leper, but he was a dead man. Jesus Christ brought him back to life. So, man, this is weird, isn't it? It's like you begin to think for a minute, you're like, I don't know, I went to a leper colony once. I got to go there and see, because now it's not as contagious, especially in our country. You don't hear of leprosy. I mean, there were people with their eye sockets, like, rotted out, limbs tore. Like, it was awful. Like, it was gross, man. It was gross looking. I felt bad for these people. And all of a sudden here, Jesus Christ is at the table. They're going to eat supper. And you're like, who's our guest? Well, it's Simon the leper's house. Oh, and here's Lazarus, the dead man walks in. Like, we got a zombie with us, you know. I'm just like, my gosh, it's the freak show. This is like the circus that's going to come to town, right? And then all of a sudden, verse 2 mentions Martha. So Martha's there. So not including Jesus, we got Simon the leper, Lazarus, Martha, who's serving. Verse 3, then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus. Then there's Mary. Mary takes this very costly box of ointment. And the Bible says, if you study this passage, because it appears in the Bible several times, she breaks it open and anoints Jesus with it. Well, several things about this ointment, I just wanted to point out, several things about it is that it's very costly. It says here. So it's super expensive. Cologne's expensive in any ways, isn't it? All the good smelling stuff's expensive, you know. I went one time and I was like, man, this smells great. What is it? And I looked, I was like, Adidas. Man, this smells great. I'll take it for $12. I'll buy that thing. Well, I didn't realize till later. I'd spray it on me like 10 minutes later. I'm like, where's it at? You know, it was watered down. You know, so I just started drinking it, you know. It did have a little alcohol content in it. But I'm just kidding. I shouldn't have said that. But good cologne, stuff that stays with you. You take your shirt off at nighttime and you're like, man, I still smell that, you know. I mean, this is that stuff, you know. It's super expensive. It's behind the locked box, you know. The cheap stuff, you're like, oh, you know, there's some Adidas. Oh, there's some Axe. Well, go to Dollar General and get you some Axe if you want to. You know, oh, you want something good that's going to last? Guess what? Get an associate so they can unlock it. It's locked up for a reason, because guys like you are going to steal it. Guys like me would put it in my pocket, right? Very expensive. You know, what's crazy about this is Jesus Christ had so changed their lives. You know, Simon the leper healed. Lazarus is now alive. Mary and Martha, depending on what you know about Mary, Mary seemed to have a sketchy background in her past. And all of a sudden she comes and she's anointing Jesus' body because she loves him. She's anointing it and pouring it out. Sometimes I like to think of it like this. She didn't have much money. She had a bad reputation. And it's like she lived her life, and without measure, she would just pour it into a little box. Everything she had, the most of her values. It's like you and me. Might not have much, but all of my talents, everything I am, I don't have much money. And she decided this day she couldn't think of anything better to do with it than to lavish it upon the Savior that was going to give his life for her. So without measure, once again, she broke open the box and began to pour it upon Jesus. Everything she had. And everybody's like, you never find Simon the leper getting up protesting, saying, I protest. This is too much money. We could have sold it for the poor. Heck, we could have built a leper colony for other lepers. That's what we could have done. He don't say this at all. You know what Simon does? Simon begins to cry at the table and says, I was once a leper. And my gosh, my wounds smelled to high heaven. Matter of fact, I don't even know what he smelled like at this point. I know he didn't have leprosy anymore. I'd like to think maybe he's white as snow. But all of a sudden the Bible says the whole house was filled with this fragrance that Mary poured out. It filled the entire house. And Simon never says that was too much money. Matter of fact, you know what Simon says? There's only one thing I could think of that this would be worth it. It's worth it for Jesus. He's worth it. Lazarus is wiping tears from his eyes. And Lazarus is not complaining. Lazarus is saying, Mary took everything she had, everything that was costly and valuable to her, and said, this is worthless and it's going to fade into history. So I'm going to pour it on the one that's going to give me eternal life. And she gave all of her value, all of her love, and she poured it upon the Savior. And Lazarus, no complaints out of him, because he said, I was dead till Jesus touched me. And he's wiping tears from his eyes saying, he deserves it. The religious people in the room, Judas Iscariot, he's the one that pops off. You don't even find Martha in here going, what are you doing, Mary? That's expensive. She knew he was worth it. It's religious people that are sitting back and saying, and Jesus said, you're not even concerned about this, are you? This box of ointment was very costly. It was so valuable and strong. This is the part I really like about it. I don't know if you know this or not, but whatever you live your life for, that's what fills your house. That's what fills your house. Whatever you talk about, whatever you're involved with, that's what you do. And it could be even, I'm not thinking of just horrible things. But you know, we all become, our flesh becomes addicts. So that's what our house becomes. Some of your houses are just filled with chaos. And you know why? That's your life. It's chaos. Mary, in Simon's house, she poured, the Bible makes sure we know something. This fragrance filled the entire room. Hey, gang, you can't fool nobody. Some of you would say, well, I love Jesus. Hey, do you love Jesus or are you just a religious person? Maybe you're just a fan and not a follower. Because if you were a follower, everyone would know. All your neighbors and people you work with, your house would be filled with the fragrance. I was a goofball back in junior high school, and I fell in love with a girl named Laura, and didn't even know her very well. And what was crazy is, if I told you where Laura lived, like she lived in the ghetto. Like I lived in the projects, but she lived in the ghetto, like rough area. There was a group of projects up over East Avenue Hill, and she lived there. And she was actually one of the only, they were rough. And let me tell you something. I liked her so much that I would walk her home from school. Well, they knew her in the neighborhood, but nobody knew me. You know, and I can't tell you, like, there was times after she left and her door closed, I was like hustling home. So I thought, my tail's probably about to get whipped, you know. So that's just how I felt. But you know what I did? I got a picture of her. And, you know, we'd been dating all together about 3 weeks, and I put it on my TV at home. It was so funny. I look back on it now. I'm like, my dad should have slapped me, but he didn't. I put an 8x10 picture of her on my TV, our console TV at home. And my mom's like, what's this? You know, and I was just like, and I was like Elf, you know, the Elf principle, you know. I'm in love, and I want everybody to know, you know. And that was me. That was I want everybody to know that this was my lady, man, and I'm going to marry this girl. And things didn't work out so well. But it was very obvious that Mary loved Jesus. This fragrance, what she poured out for the Savior, it just filled the entire house. In Matthew 26, it said she anointed his whole body, even poured it over his head. See, you know, check this out. Some of you would say in your heart, you know, the Bible says if you love the Lord, the same is known of you. What you love, people know about. Some of you love alcohol. You just do. It's known about you. You got habits in your life or issues. Some of you love fantasy football because that's all you talk about. Sorry. Some of you love music. Some of you love fashion. You love clothes. You might love what you do for a living. It could be anything because that's what you talk about. People know what you really love and care about. It's no secret. That's why if you're having a hard time answering questions, like what's something you really valuable, I'm like, man, I really don't know. Just ask people close to him and they'll be able to say, here's what he likes. Here's what she likes. That's all she talks about. That's what's come out of her mouth all the time, you know? And so it was really, really obvious. But what I love about it, it says in Matthew 26, it says she broke open this box of ointment, but it says she released it. I like that. Guys, I think some of you in heart would say, I love the Lord. It's time to release it. Guys, it's time to open that up. You don't speak of it in the right places. Your home's not filled with the fragrance. Or you might get in your room and have a little time, but your spouse wouldn't know it because you're like living the secret life. I'm just here to tell you something. Release that. You ever been in music sometimes and you just want to drop a tear and throw up your arm and say, yes, yes. Why don't you do that? Because you don't want the box to be broken. And I'm telling you, we need to be better at that. Letting it out, man. And just saying, let the fragrance fill the room. Break open the box. That's what he wants to do. Hey, gang, I want to give you a few things. I got to end this thing. Are you ready? Here's a few things for you. Remember, we already covered this one. One act of love towards Christ is greater than feeding 10,000 people. Don't think just being a do-gooder. Hey, I give to St. Jude's. One act of love towards Jesus is greater than that. I love here that Jesus never refuses. He accepts this anointing. He even actually defends her when Judas speaks up. There's always somebody in the church, somebody in the room, and people look at the budget. It's so funny. People sometimes will see the way we're spending money, and they won't necessarily like it. Here's the funniest part about it. You know who usually complains and has an issue with things? You guessed it. The people that don't give. People that give usually have no issue. They're giving for the Lord. They want done what's best. And some of you say, hey, put this money towards kids. And I get that. We do that type of stuff. But it's funny through the years that people that have left and had issues. It's just funny. People are like, oh, our church is going to be fine. Them three families left because they don't give hardly a dime. I didn't know that. Sad, isn't it? The Bible says where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. So Mary giving a costly ointment to Jesus, where was her heart at? In the right place, man. She loved him. She was going to give it for the Lord. Give it upon him, right? Hey, guys, let me give you a couple other things before I close out, and that is this. If you're going to worship the Lord, it's going to cost you something. It's going to cost you something. Things have always got to be broken before real love is poured out. There's got to be a brokenness first. So the church has got this going on. This is going on in ministry. This is going on. And if you tend to be the girl, the guy that would grab your schedule and go, I can't. Something's got to be broken there. Break your routine. Break the schedule. Do it. What it really amounts to is this. Most of us, like, we give Jesus leftovers. Even money, most people are like, is the offering plate going to be passed? You know, you reach in your pocket and you're like, there's a 20 and a 5. What's Jesus going to get? He's $5 Jesus, right? I can't give him the 20. I got to survive this week, right? There's always a cigarette to smoke and a Monster Energy to drink. And $5 don't hardly cover that anymore, you know? So we give him the leftovers. We give our time, our money, our energy. But let me tell you something. Proper worship of Jesus Christ, it costs. It costs. You're sweating. You're up late. Sometimes your pocket's empty. Just mark that down. Don't fool yourself. You're just a fan of Jesus. I get it. You're just not a follower. May we see in this passage, you know what? He wants my heart here. Another thing, let me just word it this way. Her real devotion for Jesus, notice this. She could not hide it. It filled the whole house. Because a lot of people want to say, my Christianity, my religion, it's private. It's personal. It's between me and the Lord. My friend, that just admits that you don't have one. Right? You can't hide it. You can't hide real devotion to Jesus Christ. She couldn't hide it. And like Elf, she wants the whole world to know. And she's going to break that box and pour all the value out, right? And then here's the last point I'll say, and then we'll close out of this thing. Real devotion to Jesus, it always draws criticism. Always. Immediately Judas speaks up and talks about the money. You know, what a waste. We could have fed poor people with this. You know, Jesus Christ says, you know the thing about poor people? They're always going to be here. You know what that tells you? What poor people need is not money. Because when poor people get money, you know what they do. What do? Do they fix the tires on their car? Is that what poor people do when they get a little extra money? Oh man, I can fix tires on my car. This is going to be great. Oh man, we need a new bed. Our kid's been sleeping on the floor. Junior needs some shoes. Now, when poor people get money, they buy a 52-inch flat screen that's on sale. That's what they do. And then you need what? You need more money. See, a lot of poor people have a bad mindset. Right? It's just true. You're caught in this mindset. That's why Jesus says, you're always going to have poor people with you. Don't make that the issue. That's not the issue. Right? They're always going to be around. What poor people need is a relationship with Jesus. And then all of a sudden they get adopted into the king's family. And then they start learning differently. And we were just talking about this morning, me and Chris, because what you do is once you start growing in your faith, because I know this from being poor and grew up in the projects, poor people are takers. We always went and got powdered milk. We always went and got, you know, hey, the free cheese line, right? Yeah, we did it as kids. It wasn't a link card back then. We had stamps, man. It was food stamps. We did that. We just took everything we could take because that's what poor people do. It's amazing how you begin to grow. And I watched my mom begin to grow. And as a kid, I watched her become a giver. A giver. And it don't mean that she was like rich now. Oh, I can give now because I got money. Oh, no, she was still poor. She just had a different love in her life. And it was Jesus. It was Jesus. So just remember, real devotion is going to attract criticism from people. And I know this right now. If you meet Jesus Christ, the first friction you're going to face is your family. You see it in the Bible. It's true. You're going to draw criticism from people, even at work. Or you decide not to do some of the same things again, and people are going to say stuff to you. I know it's weird. Been there, done that. So what a beautiful story. So I want to ask you something. And by the way, you know all this picture is something beautiful too. Because Jesus Christ came to planet Earth. He was broken. He was spilled out for you. He lavished his love on you. And this is why as Christians now we can say, I'm going to lavish all my energy, all my time, all my money on him. Because he's given his all for me. Jesus. Mary just showed a beautiful picture of what he was about to do as she was anointing him for a burial. Jesus Christ loves you so much. He was broken, spilled out, and it cost him his life for you. Do you know him? Some of you have never experienced this. Some of you are looking for a purpose in life. Guys, he's the purpose. This is it, to know Jesus. Do you know him today? Have you ever met him? I know you know about him. Everybody knows about him. You know, everybody has his baseball card. You can look at his stats and go, that's Jesus, right? You know, you can spot a picture of him on anybody's wall. That's Jesus up there, you know. That's not Jesus, actually. That's a hippie from the 60s. But you think it's Jesus, right? That's how that works. So, question. Do you know him? Have you ever met Jesus Christ today? Because that's what needs to happen. By faith, you need to meet him. And then be like Simon the leper. He'll cleanse your life, and then guess what? You fellowship. You become the dwelling place of God, the Bible says. And then you're sitting down eating meals together. Once you're like Lazarus and you've been made alive, guess what you're doing now? You're supping with him. You get to sit down and be with him. And then you get to watch other people come in and just say, man, I just wanted to give this to Jesus. And they pour out their lives for him. And you're the one that cries and says, that's beautiful, because that's exactly what I did a few years ago. He's worth it. He deserves it. So let's bow our heads and pray together. And I got a question for you, gang. Go ahead and bow your heads and close your eyes. Hey, being a Christian is meeting Christ. It's not about just saying, man, I'm going to do better this week. Man, I got to get off the dope, man. I get it. I know that. All these things grab us, right? You think you're going to do better this week. What about our dieters in the room? You're like, this week, starting tomorrow. Yeah, after I eat all the Doritos and M&Ms at home, tomorrow, I'm going to... Oh, you're going to try harder? Next Sunday, you're going to feel guilty because you're trying hard lasted 2 days. I get it. That's what the flesh does. I'm not talking about just doing good. I'm talking about a relationship. Jesus Christ wants to move inside of your life. Real change happens from the inside, and then it works its way out. People are terrified of this because it brings real change in people, right? It really does. And some of you might reach a spot where you're just sick of your life anyways because it always leads you to disaster. Everything you try never leads to anything good. So, gang, is there anybody under the sound of my voice that would say, I think I need Jesus. I'm not sure I've ever met Jesus Christ. Romans 10, 9 and 10 says you can believe in him all you want to, but you do need to say, I do. You need to open up your mouth and confess with your heart that he's the Lord. That you're born in sin, we're all born in sin, right? We had a table right now. You look at, there's lepers and there's dead people that are not made alive all around that table. Ladies that lived a life that wasn't so good. So is there anybody in this room that would say, I think I need to be saved. I need to be a Christian. And what I'm going to do is if you'll raise your hand, I want somebody to show, they'll give you a Bible, but I want somebody to show you in the Bible how this works and how this looks so that you can see it from the Bible, not just from me. So is there anybody in this room that you've never met Jesus Christ? I want you to raise your hand. Today is the day, man, you're going to meet him. Your life is going to forever change today. It's scary, isn't it? I'm not talking about religion. Remember what religion does. It messed up this story is what it did. Right in the middle of the story, it got ugly. Is there anybody here? And hey, my goal is not to embarrass you. My goal is just to get you, see you saved. I want you to meet Jesus Christ, and we'll go over into one of the offices so you can privately look and see what the Bible is. Is there anybody here that says, I need saved?